Young Men Sent.
And whenever we're in Nashville,
we always listen to
the 411
with our homegirl Sharon K, because it's the hottest show around.
At first I was like, who, what? Oh wow, those guys are precious, you know. I bet they're old men now, like boys to old men, you know. Yeah. Let me say hello to Nashville, all of our lovely people. You know you're the lovely ones. I call you that all the time. Anyway, at least walk in it, okay? Feel good about it. It's going to be a very cold Halloween. Jackets and sweaters.
Chilly, trick
yeah.
And treat.
Oh,
trick
yeah.
And treat, huh?
Oh, yeah. So it looks like I might be bringing extra candy in here on Friday.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to buy a lot just in case. So me and you and the students will be eating candy from now until Easter.
Depending on what kind of candy.
That's true. Anyway, we're happy to have you listening this afternoon on this rainy, truly overcast Wednesday. Going to talk weather in a minute or so. I know many of you have been in rain, umbrellas out and dodging raindrops all day long, because it's going to be that way for us today through tomorrow. We'll talk about that in a minute. Lot in store this afternoon on the show. And, you know, I always get going with my community news segment. And I didn't know I was going to get to talk to the executive director, Roger Dinwiddie, of the Students Taking a Right Stand program down the street and close by. And I thought I was going to talk to your staff person, Aaron, but I get to talk to you, Roger.
I'm on.
You were elected to do this.
I did. Well, no, I chose this one, so it's great to talk to you, Sharon.
Definitely. Now, Roger, are you staying dry today?
I am staying dry today. We've been inside all day being interviewed by a group of people from across the country who are evaluating our program. This is 3 days we've been under review for CARF for our accreditation process, and they just packed up and are moving home to Detroit, New York, and North Carolina today. We had a great experience with them. So we've been kind of hunkered down, working really hard for the last 3 days.
Excellent. Well, I know it's going to be all good and successful for
it
you.
It is.
And the program has been an overwhelming success in the Tennessee area for some decades now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you guys keep up the great work. But you can't exhale now, right?
Yeah, it was a big exhale about 2 o'clock today. Everybody kind of caught their breath, and everybody, you know, it's kind of one of those deals where you're not sure what to do when it's over, because we've been working on this for 3 years,
yeah.
And it's, you know, everybody's kind of going, looking around, going, okay, chap, you know, do we clap? Do we cheer? Do we, you know, just take a couple of days off? And so, but the problem is we don't have any time to take it off, because we've got stuff coming up that we've got to get ready for.
That's true. Well, just before we talk about your big event coming up on November 5th, can you just take one or two sentences to describe how deep in detail this project was, the accreditation piece for you guys?
Yeah. Well, it was really big because it looked at, first of all, I should say that we really looked at two specific programs that we wanted to become accredited for. And that was our intensive outpatient treatment program for substance abuse and co-occurring mental health disorders. And those kids are all coming. Those are young men and women from the Middle Tennessee area, and specifically working with Judge Calloway, the juvenile court. And so we wanted to follow through on that one. And then the second program was our school-based mental health services that are in several counties around the Middle Tennessee area. So those were the two deep dives that we took. And I got to tell you, I could not be more proud of our staff people, Teresa Whitaker, James Bush, and Lauren Dixon, Kay Higgs, and Sandy Schmall, the people you know, Sharon, who have really done an incredible job for the last 3 years of pulling this together. And so it is a major step forward for us to sort of validate the things that we've known, that the community's known, you've known for many, many years about the great work that goes on at STARS. So it's just a great process and a really good piece of of documentation for us that really shows we're doing what we're supposed to be doing.
Absolutely. And you're just a couple of blocks from us right down on, what is that, 16th and Charlotte?
We're on the corner of 17th and Charlotte.
Oh, 17th.
And in the Youth in the Youth Opportunity Center. Yes.
Okay. And, you know, I've known you for years and years, and I'm happy to know that you guys are doing great things. Now, speaking of great things, I know you have a big benefit coming up on November 5th.
Yeah,
and,
we do.
Go ahead, Roger, and give us the details on Cherish the Night.
Well, this is the 11th annual Cherish the Night, and it is a large event. It's going to be at Marathon Music Works. Mm-hmm. The doors open at 6 p.m., and it's really got an incredible art, silent auction, great food, really cool place, cool event. And the event also features musical entertainment. This year, we're really jazzed and thrilled again that Keb Moe is back on stage for us, along with the Young Fables, who were there last year. And Keb originally made his first appearance at Cherish back in 2012 when he was with Vince Gill and Sheryl Crow and Natalie Hemby. And he's going to be playing a few songs from his new Christmas album, and we are thrilled about that. And Keb has been a great supporter of all things related to STARS and to great community events, as you well know, and so we're jazzed about that. So tickets are $175 for general admission and then $275 for patron level. And I also should say that this year, you know, tragically a couple of years ago, Troy Gentry passed away in a horrible helicopter accident before a concert, and Angie, his wife, former board member at STARS, and this year we will honor for the third time the Troy Gentry Compassion Award, and this year it's going to go to Olympian gold medal winner Scott Hamilton. We're thrilled. Scott's got the greatest heart in the world for all things related to kids.
That's beautiful. You also have some distinguished MCs for that affair, and you mentioned the great music and the auction items, and is there dinner in this, Roger?
You betcha there is. Great food.
Okay.
It will be a buffet meal will be provided as well. And again, doors open at 6, and so food will become served shortly thereafter. Be a time, great time to mix and mingle, take a peek at the auction items. Thankful for Ron York, who coordinates the art part of the event for us, and fellow board member. So, yeah, it's going to be food, fun, and great entertainment, great music, and some really great time. Also hearing from a young lady who is a graduate of one of our programs who is going to be sharing about the impact of the process and program on her life as well.
Is there a reason why the event is called Cherish Tonight? Is there some significance to that?
Yeah, good question. Cherish came over when Kids on the Block merged with us back about, golly, going on 12 years ago now. When Kids on the Block came over, they had an event called Cherish the Night, and we merged the events that we were currently doing along with the Cherish event, and so we keep celebrating Cherish the Night, which is kind of a celebration of all the great programs and practices and strategies we use at STARS to try to help kids be healthy, hopeful, and connected. So that's our goal for what we do at STARS.
Excellent. And this is one of the many events and benefits that you all do throughout the course of the year. And you're working with the school system and across Middle Tennessee. I just think you're just doing great work, and I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it.
And the love comes right back at you, Sharon. You've been a good friend for a long, long time, and that's probably telling more than we should about how long it's actually been. But man, you've been a great friend and a great supporter, and we love partnering with you guys.
Thank you.
At Jazzy 88, and you know I'm a faithful listener and supporter of Jazzy 88
as well.
Couldn't imagine Nashville without you guys.
No, I know it, and we're pleased to be able to do what we do. Now, Roger, is still tickets available? They can get them online at the door. How you do that?
Yeah, both ways. Online, starsnashville.org, so starsnashville.org, or you can call 615-279-0058 and ask for either Aaron Donick or Shelby Huggins, either one of them, and we'll take care of you if you're interested in joining. Sure hope some folks will.
I hope they do as well and support our cities. Has so many great nonprofit programs. They're all worthy. So
you bet.
Go to stars.org for details on other programs and services for teens and families.
You're here.
Okay.
We're glad to help.
Thank you. Roger, you take care. And as always, it's always good to hear your voice, okay?
You too, friend. See you soon.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Sharon. See you. Bye-bye.
All right. Now, that's coming up on next week. And you know, it's always a lot. I'm a friend of the nonprofits because I feel y'all's pain because we're a nonprofit. I feel it. It's hard to raise money, Lord. Whoo. So we 30 days in, and tomorrow's the 31st, but you can give at WFSK anytime. You know, any time. But our emphasis is in October and in spring and April. But it is tough to raise money. It's tough. So, you know, we hope that those of you who get paid at the end of the month won't forget to send a little love offering to support WFSK. It would just make such a difference in the operation here at Nashville's Jazz Station. And Mr. Lawson.
Yes, ma'am.
How's your day going?
Excellent. How was yours?
Well, I feel like a bumbling idiot. You know why?
What is that?
Now, I know I am juggling 22 things simultaneously. I do recognize that. But I cannot believe I juggled this one. And, you know, I've been wanting to be have this person on the show for how long?
Yeah, since he's been gone, since the last time since he left.
Years, right?
Last time we saw him was at the Christmas party.
Why was I so excited when I booked it? I didn't write it down. Okay. I'm like, oh, Lord.
Yeah.
And I'm so excited that former Nashville Mayor Bill Purcell is going to be in the house.
He's in the house.
And I am so excited because I haven't seen him in a long time except on everybody's websites and pictures online and blasés. But it's not the same as seeing somebody with your eyeballs in person, okay?
Yeah.
And it's not because I couldn't have went over wherever he is and blah, blah, blah. But I'm busy. He's busy. And I'm a host. I'm booking everywhere, all over the place. I mean, for real. So now the show has been on the air 18 years. Mm-hmm. And I can honestly say this is the first time I have ever not written something down. So should I not juggle 22, maybe just 20?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I'm like, oh, my God, I didn't do it. And I have a procedure. So, okay, exhale, Sharon K.
Yeah.
Well, he's coming in just a minute, and I am as happy as I can be And here goes some history. And I know you're listening to me, former Mayor Purcell. You can hear me in the in the green room because I have the radio. We have the radio position where you can hear me. Actually, remember when in the early days on the show, and you know, when the show was just getting credibility, and you know, people were like, "Oh, I heard they got this talk show thing over to such and such a place."
Yeah.
And you know, I had to plead the case because I had to cut through, you know, his staff and all that, you know, to convince them that, you know, we're worthy because we're new. Yeah.
Were you going to ask him?
Yeah. So I'm like, okay. And then not just does he come over whenever we wanted to discuss issues. He sang in the community choir. He's been here to act silly with us. I mean, it's like, oh, my God. And just I really miss that.
Yeah.
You know, I do.
I remember when he stood right here in this window and said, look over there. You can see my office if you look way over there. Yeah.
And remember when we first got here to this station?
Yeah.
And because I got this picture, I think, in my office.
It is. It's on the wall.
And the station was really at its...
It was naked.
Ooh. It was like... homeless
That's
shelter.
The best way I could describe
it was bad.
What it looked like.
It was really in, you know.
Yeah.
You know. So we thank the Lord with holy oil preachers in Jesus. It's all right. But Madam President, former Madam President was in here at the time.
That's right. They were both in here. Uh-huh. Was that the Christmas party?
In my,
that was a Christmas party.
It was the Christmas party I had over here. We were just having a good time. We didn't care what it looked like. But, I mean, that those memories are just really great. So when I come back from getting my traffic report, and it would be interesting to know if Mayor Purcell remembers any of that. Well, I do have pictures. but, I mean, you know, because his job is serious. It was just, you know, serious as his role to represent the city and all that, but he did not shirk from his duties of talking to the community, which is important. And with any new mayor or mayor period, I hope they realize that those little bitty things like that are important.
I remember the time
to the citizens.
You told me that you were in Prince's Hot Chicken.
He was in there. Sleeves rolled up, Jack.
He heard you lie. He said, "Sharon Kay, is that you?" He heard you.
I was like, "Oh, lie. I'm busted." I was sneaking in Prince's, you know, on a Thursday evening, tired from work. I was like, oh, Lord, I can't talk out loud. Anyway, now, speaking of out loud, I would say, is the song of the day Raindrops Keep Falling on Our Heads, Chuck, or what song would you call for today?
I knew it was going to rain today because I knew I was going to get to talk to you.
Well, you know what? That's a good sign right there. Because on Wednesdays, we can just about count the Wednesdays.
Uh-huh.
That at least 7 out of 8, it's almost rained. I mean, it's crazy. It's nuts. But if you had a rain song and you're a traffic man, would it be Rainy Days and Wednesdays?
What was that song? I Can See Clearly Now, The Rain He's Gone. I'm thinking of The Rain Moving Out.
Okay. Oh, okay, yeah, because that would help.
You remember that one?
Yes, I do. That was Johnny Nash, I think.
Yeah.
You know, I'm old school. I can remember stuff. And until next year when, you know, 2020 comes, and I'll be like, no, I'm just kidding. Chuck, you are probably knee-deep in traffic issues all around the city, and I know downtown can be bumper to bumper. How's the interstates look for us this afternoon?
Thanks, Sharon. Right now, we're looking at 1, 2, 3, maybe 4 cars here involved in this wreck on Vietnam Vets at Conference Drive. It's going westbound. It's coming from Hendersonville towards Nashville on Vietnam Vets here. They got a lane blocked. And it looks like maybe 2 of these cars have just went off into the woods. One of them sitting here sideways. This wreck just happened, and TDOT just rolled up again. That's Vietnam Vets going westbound. We're looking at that heavy traffic flow coming eastbound, trying to drive by, and everybody's rubbernecking up there on Vietnam Vets right now. West end at 440, you got a crash there. Over in Hermitage, a wreck there at blocking traffic. OHB at Lebanon Pike. Yes, it's busy on the South Loop, the West Loop. Just give yourself extra time out here, folks. Please slow it down. This traffic report brought to you by Prince's Hot Chicken, 5814 Nolensville Pike. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay?
Want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance.
Open enrollment season is here, and if you don't have a health care plan through a job or government program, it's time to get covered. From November 1st through December 15th, you can shop for a plan that starts on New Year's Day. Depending on your income, you might even qualify for financial assistance through a government subsidy. To learn more about open enrollment and compare health insurance policies for you and your family, visit insurancequotes.com.
Support for WFSK comes from Born Again Church. Ladies, discover your divine rhythm, fashioned in His image, presents A Woman's Heart, The Awakening Women's Gathering, Wednesday, November 6th through Sunday, November 10th. Awaken to a week that will include a creative workshop experience and conversations on matters of the heart. Learn who you are, how to connect with other women, sister to sister, living in freedom, and the importance of self-care. Registration is $50. Fashion in His image. A Woman's Heart, The Awakening Gathering at Born Again Church, November 6th through the 10th. Register now at fihi.net or eventbrite.com. That's fihi.net or eventbrite.com.
On the next Jazz Night in America, John Scofield presents music from his record Quiet and reunites with his Blue Matter Electric Fusion roots.
When we started to play, I did get chills from the songs and remembering all the good times we had because the music reminds me of some real friends.
I'm Christian McBride, and that's on the next Jazz Night in America. Catch Jazz Night in America every Sunday from 2 to 3 p.m. and Wednesdays from 6 to 7 p.m. here at listener-supported Jazzy 88.
Support for WFSK comes from Nashville General Hospital at Meharry, reminding you that October is National Breast Cancer Awareness Month. It has been proven that African-American and Hispanic women have a higher breast cancer death rate than women of other racial or ethnic populations because they are statistically less likely to participate in mammography screenings and more likely to be diagnosed with late-stage breast cancer. If you are over 40 and haven't had a screening mammogram, call the Breast Health Center at Nashville General Hospital today, 615-341-4543. Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All righty, Nashville. Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK Historic Fisk University. And just a quick reminder to you that What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance, and brought to you by Nashville General Hospital at Meharry. We thank you so very much for supporting What's the 411. This afternoon, Because, you know, I do this circle thing. I circle around with people that are guests that I enjoy and want to find out what's going on. That's why the show is called what it's called. And what's the 411 is like a question. And it's real. I'm happy to have former Nashville Mayor Bill Purcell in the studio. And Mayor Purcell, may I just say, neither of us has aged one iota. Not one, okay?
Well, you have some new glasses.
I do. I do.
They're very cool.
And I changed my hairdo, kind of.
Yeah, so in some ways, maybe we look, I don't know about me, but you're looking better. You look great, and the whole team. And frankly, as you said earlier, the studio looks great. Yeah, I think it's been a good run, and you're going to keep it going.
Well, you know, this one here has been completely done, and that one's three-quarters done. And it's because the community gives when we have our fund drives and our sponsors are good. And it takes a lot of money to raise things. You know, these things are expensive, man.
Well, I know. And as you said, nonprofit work is tough.
Oh,
but it's the critical work.
It is.
What fills all the gaps in our world.
It is. But I will say something else that I have discovered a lot lately, and that is this city has hundreds of nonprofits. And we're all competing for, it seems like, the same money. It just really does. And would you say that over the time you were mayor to as it is now, that the service delivery here has more than doubled in Nashville?
Well, there's been increases, obviously, from one side of the city to the other.
Sure.
The population has grown, but not as much as the overall usage of the city, especially in the core. We know that. You see it in apartment prices. You see it in congestion on the highways. You see
sure.
all of that. On the nonprofit side, there has been a growth, and I think a healthy growth.
Yeah.
The entrepreneurial spirit that has moved a lot mm-hmm. of young people into mm-hmm. for-profits and new ideas also
yeah.
is in the nonprofit space. I'd put a plug in very quickly, especially for people who are interested in nonprofits or starting one. The
uh-huh.
Center for Nonprofit Management has been here a long time. They are based on Rolling Mill Hill. Terry Hunt leads the organization now.
Uh-huh.
Louis Levine ran it forever and ever. But the Center for Nonprofit Management, I'm honored to sit on their board, is a place that really is a lifeline and in many ways an inspiration to nonprofits
yeah.
in this city, and a
Excellent.
Major advantage that we have over cities that don't have that kind of support.
Was it around when you were mayor?
It was. Louis Levine was a great connector of people
mm-hmm.
and a supporter of all things nonprofit. He saw the opportunities for nonprofits to be supported by for-profits
mm-hmm.
that couldn't do the work or didn't have the resources to do those things that,
yeah.
just for example, WFSK does every day right here.
Yeah,
those are things that a city needs. In fact, a city would be less inspiring, less attractive. Less of a place
yeah.
without the nonprofits that reflect every part of our community.
Yeah. Well, I can remember since I've lived in Nashville, I'm not native, but since I've lived here as long as I have, I can certainly remember when I would go to grassroots and community meetings and people will be saying, we don't have this and we don't have transportation and we don't have, you know, food. I mean, different things. Some of the stuff they're still saying. But I think the city and, to a certain degree, the nonprofit organizations and the community of faith have stepped up to address a lot of those needs, or at least to bring them to the attention of the larger community.
I think that's exactly right. I think those gaps that are there, and
mm-hmm.
particularly in housing, we know there are gaps, and certainly among homeless and our at-risk communities, there
mm-hmm.
continue to be gaps, but our nonprofit community, and as you point out rightly, our faith community,
mm-hmm.
has not hesitated in recent years, and truly during the last 20 years, to step up, make the case, and not be moved. I was trying to think about when you came here. You left Topeka, Kansas.
I was young.
And it was in the 1970s, wasn't it?
I came to Nashville in 86.
In 86. Well,
yeah.
I came from Philadelphia in 76.
Oh, wow.
So we're both like many people in
we're
the city.
We're transplants?
We emigrated to Nashville.
We did.
Both of us have hung in there, and I especially want to commend you for the contribution you've made year after year, wherever you were, whether you're at Cumulus or here at Fisk for this good long run. You've never let go of the importance of the whole community and make sure everybody listens.
Well, and you know, sometimes I have to remind myself of that. You know, all the advocates. I'm like, hey, I remember when you were a kid. But I have been in the media almost 41 years. And I barely look it. I know what you're thinking. No, no. That's what, at least I tell that to my kids.
No,
all the
no,
time.
I know you've got another 41 at least.
Yeah, of
course. I'm not worried about that.
Yeah, but I mean, why should I get to a point where I don't? You know, I'm enjoying myself. Okay,
I can tell.
A lot of people that I get to make people happy as well, however I can. You know, if it's playing a song or getting, you know, coming to their events or putting their church announcements. I mean, that makes them happy. I'm cool with that. I mean, that works for me. So that's where that's the space I want to be in. And I imagine as somebody has to run a city, you got to do a whole bunch of people. You got to try to make them happy, and you can't do it all the time.
Well, we all have that problem. As every listener, everyone knows their hopes and dreams, and some of them are unfulfilled. But
yeah.
At the end of the day, if people know your care, your heart's there, you know that, and people know that about you, that,
yeah.
you care and always have and always will, then I think that supports the hopes and dreams of people,
yeah.
and makes them much more likely to come true. It's a city that has the potential to fulfill
yes.
more of those hopes and dreams
yeah.
than it ever has before.
Oh, yeah.
And I certainly am one of the people that hopes that we'll keep making that effort.
Well, and a lot of things have changed, and some seem to a certain degree to people to still have stayed the same. You were mayor for 7 years, 8 years?
8 years.
Two terms.
99 till 2007.
Those were crucial days for Nashville. Talk about, because that was a change in the millennium.
Well, it was. So it was a time when calendars were changing. But I think yeah. and believe Nashville was changing. I hope that it was during that time that Nashville broadly became convinced
mm-hmm.
that education was the most important thing that we did in this city, whether mm. it was K through 12 or pre-K, higher education, whether it was a public university or a private college or
yeah.
university. I think Nashville became convinced that education was our number one
mm-hmm.
priority, always had been, even when we didn't know it, and always would be.
Yeah.
I also think it's a time when Nashville became convinced that the whole city had to be safe.
Yes.
That it wasn't enough for one neighborhood or two or my neighborhood or yours to
right.
be safe, but the whole city had to be safe. And lastly, I think that we took hold of and still hold onto the notion that quality of life is something that a city has to deliver
yeah.
and has to deliver to everybody. And that basic agreement, I think, has been a part of the foundation now for this new millennium, for this new century. But I hope and believe it's part of who we are forever. Because if we hold on to those things and keep working toward them,
mm-hmm.
then there is no limit to what Nashville can be. And we know as we look around mm-hmm. what happens if we lose sight of those
right.
things.
Right. Do you, now that you look back and you haven't been mayor in quite some time, you see a lot of things have changed, and some beyond probably what you even envisioned or imagined. Did you ever think that downtown would be the way it is now? Because your office was there, so you know you were in it.
It was. And I honestly think the development of downtown Nashville,
mm.
much of it is foreseeable once we decided to put people back into the equation.
Mm-hmm.
Before that time, basically, people didn't live downtown. There weren't people living in the core. In fact,
right.
Nashville had worked incredibly hard in some deliberate ways and some other ways that maybe they didn't understand to move people out of the city,
yeah.
to move them out of the downtown, out of the core. When I became mayor in 1999, there were 900 people only
living
in downtown Nashville.
Wow.
In a city the size of Boston, same population now and then as Boston, Massachusetts,
uh-huh.
we only had 900 people in the core. And we'd begun that with that first redevelopment district where we'd gone through and taken out so many of the
mm-hmm.
historic African-American business and entertainment centers. We know and talk about it on Jefferson Street, but we should not forget the loss that occurred in the area around Municipal Auditorium
mm-hmm.
and in the area around the downtown,
mm-hmm.
basically from the National Baptist Publishing House
yeah.
all the way around James Robertson Parkway.
Yeah.
But those places were cleared of people and businesses.
Right.
And we went a long time before we realized that cities are for people. And what we need is people back in the core, back in the city. When we do that, we're going to have a place that will be appealing for all purposes, yeah, to all people. And I think we now hold on to that notion. There are thousands of people living in the core, thousands of people remaining and coming to the each circle out from there.
Yeah.
We see the developments, and I think the optimism now that is beginning to be apparent to more people on Jefferson Street in this historic neighborhood, and mm-hmm, the things, the changes that have occurred here, all of that flows from putting people back into the equation and realizing that the city, to be successful, has to be a place where everybody can live and have a quality of life and a job and a house and be safe and make sure that there's education for them and their children, their grandchildren, everyone who follows them there. You do that, then Nashville's going to be okay.
How do we know when we might be tipping a little too far in one direction as far as that's concerned?
Well, I think, frankly, you know it from people. Mm-hmm. You know it in this last election cycle. In this last election cycle, I think we heard from people.
Sure did.
From council districts right straight through, mm-hmm, through the mayor's race itself, that they want to change. They sought it and they obtained it. Mm-hmm. I think if you listen to people, and that's something you do, this show does, mm-hmm, and frankly, this university has, mm-hmm, done from its beginning. If you listen to people, then you will know when the equation is out of balance. That's the critical. There's no other way to know it except to understand where they are and how they are.
Do you think they said that with that vote?
I think it was a part of what people were saying. Certainly, that was a part of the campaign that was articulated.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not an observation or a criticism of anyone or anything.
Right.
It's just the reality that at that point in time,
yeah,
people were voting for change. When I was elected in 1999, mm-hmm, I said it's going to be about sidewalks and schoolrooms, mm-hmm, before anything else.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get back to the neighborhoods and focusing on people where they live and, mm-hmm, how they live and doing what we can to make them feel a part of the whole equation. When we built that first precinct in North Nashville, first ever, it was a reaction to a community really saying, we've been overlooked.
Right.
Other places have been served first.
Yes.
We don't understand.
Long and strong, they said it now.
They did, and I came into office, and with a Metro Council that was with me on, mm-hmm, these things, we first things came first for a change.
Uh-huh. And I think the community was shocked in a way. Because you know how many times people come through here chucking in a jive in the community all the time? And, you know, since I work in the heart and soul of it, I hear it and see it all the time. But there's no result. So that building is a result. It really is.
Well, and I think you see, frankly, all around us here right now, mm-hmm, the changes that are beginning and the changes that are possible. Now, that said, I do think there is a hope among people broadly across, mm-hmm, the city, that what makes us Nashville will remain intact.
Yeah.
It's historic buildings, yes, but it's neighborhoods and the feel of people knowing each other, knowing their neighbors, knowing,
yeah,
that they're going to be there for a long time. That's what you're talking about when you reference too much change too fast. The, mm-hmm, sense that this could become the place, not the place that I wanted to be in or that I grew up in. I think that balance can be maintained. I'm not afraid of growth. Moderate growth is, mm-hmm, what we've had really since the beginning of Metro government.
Yeah.
And moderate and strong and continuous growth is a good thing.
Yeah.
You don't want the alternative of that. But in the process, you protect what makes you special, what,
right,
makes us Nashville.
Right.
And again, I don't think
the people felt that anymore.
Well, I hope those that have lost that feeling will know, in fact, that's why people come and why they stay. Why are people coming to this town now? Mm-hmm. It's because of what we have here,
mm-hmm,
and what they understand we believe in and support. And that's the Nashville that you, the core of that is the, mm-hmm, Nashville that you came to and held on to and never left, and me too.
Well, but I think when during the election season and the campaign trails and et cetera, a lot of people were saying they want their city back. And that, for the most part, they don't recognize it anymore. Everything that they knew and grew up with and loved and that grew on them was gone, bulldozed, changed to condos. And if you look around Nashville, you know that's the truth.
There is a lot of new construction. And a lot of it, frankly, I think they feel as though it was not for them, was, mm-hmm, for someone who's coming just for the weekend or for the week.
Right.
But honestly, if you look closely,
mm-hmm,
those things that made this home for you and me remain there. There's a lot of new construction in the core mm-hmm. where there was a lot of empty space in the core. If we could, frankly, control the street usage, make sure the traffic could move, would be less of a problem than, as you know. But I think in the outlying neighborhoods, there's a sense that it's on us to know what's right, to stand up for it, to protect it, and allow the growth and development that we need to mm-hmm. occur so that our children and grandchildren can live here, but don't lose sight of what made Nashville our home from the start, and we hope will be our home. Well, for you another, how many years was it?
I've been here 33.
Yeah, well, 33 to start, and then we'll talk.
this is home now.
I know.
You know, my parents are deceased, my grandparents are deceased, and I still have cousins and all, but, you know, I've been here so long now, it's ridiculous.
Well,
so.
I understand that, but it was a choice you made, and I hope and believe that you know it was the right choice. I know.
I didn't for a while.
Well, as your former mayor, as your friend, I know it was the right choice for us anyway. I'm glad you're here.
Oh, definitely. Well, I know that you know, because I certainly have been always honored to have you on the show. Thanks. We need to take a timeout. And Mayor Purcell, when we come back, I want to talk about a couple things that as people see it, the Nashville of today and towards the future, since we just got some things around us that have changed dramatically. Anyway, in the studio this afternoon, I am glad to have you all listening, by the way. On your way home in the car, stuck in all that traffic. Or if you're listening online at WFSKFM.org, we thank you so much. In the studio is former Nashville Mayor Bill Purcell. Let's take a time out, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance.
Are you over age 65? If so, it's time to get your ducks in a row about Medicare. Each fall, you have a chance to make changes to your Medicare coverage for the following year. But the clock is ticking. And this year, Medicare open enrollment only lasts from October 15th to December 7th. For more information on everything you need to know about Medicare and choosing your coverage plan, visit insurancequotes.com.
Support for WFSK comes from the Center for Research on Men's Health at Vanderbilt University, now recruiting African-American men ages 35 to 54 for a weight loss program called TaylorMade Solutions for Your Health. TaylorMade was designed by, with, and for African-American men in Nashville to reach and maintain a healthy weight. Reaching and maintaining a healthy weight is one of the best ways for men to reduce their risk for heart disease, diabetes, and some cancers, and to have more energy to do things they care about. For more information, please email the TaylorMade team at taylormade@vanderbilt.edu or dial #250 and use the keyword TaylorMade.
Good afternoon. Very slow traffic here trying to get out of downtown here on the South Loop, even making it towards the West Loop. Latest crash is going to be waiting for you in Midtown at 4400 block at Granny White Pike. Also moving a wreck at West End and Natchez Trace. Traffic's picked up now big time. Ellington Parkway continuing north-northeast of town. This traffic report is brought to you by Prince's Hot Chicken, located 5814 Nolensville Pike. That's Prince's Hot Chicken. I'm Commander Chuck, your on-time traffic.
The month of October is winding up, so is our Fall Fun Drive. Just a reminder to you, 24-7, WFSK is here with the best in smooth and contemporary jazz. Show your support this month by mailing your tax-deductible donation to 1000 17th Avenue North, Nashville, 37208, or use your debit or credit card by calling us at 615-329-8754, or make your tax-deductible donation online at WFSKFM.org. All donations help defray the cost of operating Nashville's Jazz Station. Support for WFSK comes from National Shows 2, presenting an evening with Gladys Knight in concert at Ryman Auditorium, Sunday, May 10th, 2020. Tickets on sale now at the Ryman Box Office and Ticketmaster.com. Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All righty, Nashville. Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK Historic Fisk University. And What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance, and by Nashville General Hospital at Meharry. We thank you so very much for supporting What's the 411. And Mayor Bill Purcell, former Mayor Bill Purcell, is in the studio with me. I'm happy to have him here because he used to be on the show whenever I wanted to have my discussions with the mayor. He would come on over and answer questions and talk to the community. But Mayor Purcell, my sponsor, Terry W. Jones, has sponsored this show the entire time I've been here. So he and his family to me are the salt of the earth.
That's terrific.
And he puts his money where his mouth is and supports the broadcast. So by supporting the show, it supports the station. 100% of everything that the show produces goes into the operation of WFSK. A couple of notes, and then we're going to go straight back into discussing. Tomorrow is the last official day of the Fall Fun Drive for the month of October. And just let me say a couple of thank yous to some people who have gotten their donations in to support WFSK. Joyce Horton and Sherry Conwell, as well as Ashley LaWall, Betsy Morin, Bishop Leonard Scott, Miss Brenda Haywood, Tammy Edwards, Tawanda Coleman Shaw, Mr. Timothy Hughes, among others, Latanae Chanel, Erskine Lytle, Kathy R. Martin, Allegra Walker, Nigel Barker, Nathaniel Harris, and so many others. If you don't hear your name up here when we do names, it's because you haven't given. Will you get your tax-deductible donation in to support the station? And you can do it online at WFSKFM.org. You can call us at 615-329-8754 during regular business hours, or you can mail a check. Come by the station. You know, we're always happy to see you. You can mail a check to 1000 17th Avenue North. Make it payable to WFSK, Nashville, 37208. Now, Mayor Purcell, you are have been heavily into education and politics most of your life. Before I go into a few more questions, what do you do to just chill out? Okay, because this is the 401. I want to know stuff. What do you just do?
You know, one of the things that I'm involved with that I enjoy throughout the year is my work with Nashville's Hot Chicken Festival. I have to tell you that. We started that festival while I was mayor, and every July the 4th for 13 years now, our committee, which is an entirely volunteer nonprofit enterprise, has celebrated Nashville, celebrated hot chicken at the same time, and I've had the opportunity to work with great people, great community volunteers throughout that time, and in fact, just in the last 24 hours, Brenda Wynn and I were part of a new podcast that just came out on a podcast site called GovLove, G-O-V-L-O-V. These are people that like government, like supporting government. Mm-hmm. And so they've been celebrating all things government. And for some reason last week, that you may know better than me, they decided while they were here in town that they would host some local Nashville people. And throughout this hour-long set of interviews, I guess now reduced to 30 minutes, they would eat hot chicken and see how that inspired the conversation.
Oh, yes.
So you may not think of that as a chill-out kind of thing, because it's hot chicken.
No, that's chill-out. I get it. Okay, I get it.
But for me, it leaves the law and the classroom behind, and it just focuses on good food and good people. And frankly, the best things about Nashville.
Yes.
So that is my favorite thing outside of work, I have to acknowledge.
Well, I mean, I'm a foodie, so I'm there, okay? Because I've seen you with your sleeves rolled up eating hot chicken, so I know you can testify to that. But I think, let me make an observation, that the success Nashville is experiencing and the businesses here. The Prince family, of course, the originators of it, of their chicken concept. But having somebody like you, the mayor, tell everybody in the whole wide world that it's the best thing on earth, it just, you know, anything in the African-American community, the black folk, we know this. If you guys carry the message, it's going to take off. And literally, you alone were the one who took that message to a whole, because, I mean, you would talk about it every time. You know, I'm like, he is serious, y'all. You don't understand. This man is serious about this. But, I mean, that helped to do the brand, because you're the mayor. You're the messenger. I mean, that's, you couldn't ask for a better branding than that.
Well, you're kind, but more importantly, I think you really recognize that we have to I pay tribute every time that we turn to this, to the Prince family, Andre Prince now, and Simone, her family. Their families, it was a family enterprise, a creation of Nashville. No other place on the planet has this.
No.
Others are trying. There are now two hot chicken restaurants in Bangkok, Thailand.
I believe it.
And there is hot chicken being served literally from Los Angeles to New York now. All of it Nashville hot chicken.
Yes.
And all of it because a family in Nashville found something unique, developed it in their own way, and then shared it with us. So you're right. When a community comes together around something that good and holds it and then holds it up and shares it, there is no limit to where that will go. And right now, it continues to be one of the hottest food.
Literally.
Literally. That's true. And Nashville obviously now has more of these than it has ever had.
Oh, definitely.
But still at the center for me, and I'm glad you said that.
Well, it's another identity that we have for the city.
It is.
You know, it's not just one thing anymore. And, you know, it took it to another place. And, you know, the facts are is that we thought it was just our little secret. But when somebody such as yourself, well-traveled and well-known, is talking about something that everybody regular can understand, we've stood in line to get the hot chicken. We got it, okay? We want it. I like mine medium.
It's okay. medium's okay.
Okay.
The mild, I'm not. I don't understand about mild hot chicken.
But it's a waste.
but that said, no, medium or hot is. It's just look. It's just ours.
Yes.
And thankfully, I think the whole city understands that now.
Good.
In a way that they didn't, because we came together around it and we've held on to it and held on to each other. And you know, I guess earlier in the program, that's what I was trying to say about a lot of things, about our neighborhoods, about our schools, about each other. Once we put our arms around it and hold on to it, don't let go, and know how important it is, then there is no holding us back.
Yeah.
And that's what we've got to keep doing.
Well, is there some things, a couple of them that you can name that happened on your watch that have flourished that you feel good about?
Well, I can tell you that I think the agreement in the city about education, safety, mm-hmm. and quality of life, I think that started then. Mm-hmm. I think the notion that where we send our kids to school,
yeah.
those buildings, those places, and we see that here in Fisk, the work you're doing here, and the president is doing to on this campus mm-hmm. and in this neighborhood, but throughout the city, the notion that we have to provide the best that we can for all of our children, for all of our city. I hope and believe that that is a shared understanding in the city. I've been pleased about the focus on sidewalks, mm-hmm. on the focus on neighborhood community conditions, mm-hmm. and continue to work and not leave that behind. And then at the end of the day, the notion that whether you were born here or brought here or came here on your own, that there's no place else you'd rather be. If we can all hold that thought, I think Nashville's future is unlimited.
Now, are there a couple of things that you just can't let go of that you wish you could have gotten done while you were mayor? Yeah. And do you ever let go?
Well, I don't think anyone in the city should let go of any hope or dream that they have for mm-hmm. this place. You can be told no or turned down or even overlooked. But if you hold on to that hope and hold on to that dream and keep pursuing it and make sure that others understand that if it's the right thing, this is a city that ultimately, I believe, will get there. So I've been blessed. I was able to do most of the things that I wanted to do. And those things that I didn't get to do,
yeah.
My successors, thankfully, were able to advance. Oh, are there improvements that need to be made right now? Sure,
yes.
There are. Are there things
yeah.
we need to do about traffic? Do we need to get the schools back on top?
Yeah.
Yeah, we do. And there are many other things that you and I know and that your listeners would list. But at this moment, I think, again, I have a basic optimism about the city as well as a hope for us all. And I'm holding on to that because I see no reason not to. I think we can and will be the place that you dreamed of when you landed here from Topeka, Kansas, and wondered where
oh
in the world
God.
Am I?
I clicked my heels.
Yeah, I'm not in Kansas anymore. But where am I? Well,
right.
you're in a better place,
yeah.
and it's going to be a better place yeah. if we stick together.
Now, and lastly, I know the trains. We were discussing this during the break. The trains that got started, this little system from here to
Lebanon.
Yeah. What about that one? Is that one that could have happened going in the other direction?
Well, again, it's worth remembering. In 1999, I came into office. One half of all the buses in the city of Nashville were eligible for antique license plates. That's how far we let it go.
Wow.
That's how far we lost sight of the critical nature of public transportation for the public. We've worked hard since then, mayor after mayor. One of the things I did was my administration began that Music City Star, that train that runs from downtown right in the core all the way out to Lebanon.
Yeah.
And my hope remains that system will expand and that there'll be more of those. This was a city served by great passenger trains for many years. And whether you look at Chicago and older, New York, older city,
mm-hmm.
or newer cities, there is an understanding that commuter rail will run a lot of people a long way.
Yeah.
But if we stay focused on buses for people to get from their homes in their neighborhoods, hopefully commuter rail and things like that that move people between counties and between urban centers, I think we can get our transportation needs under control as well. We've come a long way in just the last 18, 19 years.
But we have a long way to go.
We certainly do. And again, you have to hold on to it and never let go and keep moving forward. Because the minute you look away, you'll fall back.
Absolutely. Because I know the citizens wanted it. They wanted to see it go in the other direction, like Bellevue and all that.
Oh, there's no question that this is a city that has an understanding now of what they could and should have. And maybe we didn't always understand that, but we know now if we're going to have this appeal to the rest of the world, we have to have the services for our world. And we need them pretty soon.
Absolutely. Mayor Purcell, this is the fastest time frame I've ever seen in my life. It's time for you to go. No.
Well, I think you got the rain stopped, so I'm ready to go back out in the world. I'm going to be teaching my class tonight about cities over on the other side of Charlotte at Vanderbilt, and I look forward to sharing the fact that Sharon Kay's What's the 411 is alive and well, and will be on a podcast very soon, and they can decide whether whether their teacher knew what he was talking about.
Test him on that, you guys. And today's Wednesday. We'll probably have this one up probably sometime tomorrow.
Great.
And they might look on our website and see some photos, some old pictures of you too, Mayor Purcell, from way back when. X, we're going to go to the top of the hour and get our news. And don't let this be the last time.
It won't be the last
that
time.
You come over.
All you have to do is invite me. I'll come. Whether you remember I was coming or not, I'll be here. And in the meantime, I did want to mention that when you go to that website, there is a very easy section pops right up.
Okay.
For the 48-hour radiothon and the fact that it's time to make your giving. I've got that message too, Sharon Kay, and I'll do my part so you can call my name out.
Thank you. Right. And you know, let me say this. I know I'm like 30 seconds over, but Mayor Purcell, when I called your office to see if it was possible that I could have you on, I told the lady that answered the phone, this is his favorite talk show host. She was like, who?
Well, I knew who it was.
So now she'll know, right?
Absolutely.
Anyway, thank you so much. Thanks. We're going to get our news and be back on the other side. We have our community news today coming from Born Again Church. And then Ian Haney Lopez has his brand new book. He's a professor of public law at University of California, Berkeley. He's the Dog Whistle Politics author. He's back with Merge Left. We're going to take a time out and be back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.